This time, Brother Tony Burles is going to come and bring our message. Tony is a member of Oak Grove Baptist Church near Ashdown. I think I know where that's at, but anyway, he's coming to speak what God's laid on his heart.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you today, and I just love your pastor. I know you love him, too. Is he interim here, y'all? How long has he been here? I don't blame y'all. I wouldn't get rid of him either. I mean, he's a wonderful man. Just love him. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Romans. You know, for the sake of the children and the children's church workers, I'm going to try to get through this. You know, if y'all have never been in trouble with a nursery crew before, believe me, I have. I've been in trouble with them, so. Hey, let's turn over to Romans, and let's go look at chapter 8. And I just want to read, I'll begin reading in verse 10. Romans 8, I'll begin reading in verse 10. This morning, the message is, removing or fighting or mortifying is the old word, ungodly emotions, the emotions of fear, anxiety, and worry. Now, I know, I can tell by the looks on y'all's face, y'all don't have any of that. But we're going to talk about that this morning, using the Bible to remove fear, anxiety, and worry from our lives, because I think that's what the Lord wants us to do today. So, Romans chapter 8, we'll begin actually reading in verse 9. Would you stand as we read the Word together? We'll honor the Word in this way. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So let's pray. Father, we bow before your throne today, and you are holy, you are high, you are lifted up, you are glorious, almighty, omniscient, present everywhere, all-knowing. And God, you know every one of our hearts, and you know every one of our minds in such a way that we don't even know them ourselves. So we ask you, God, come and heal our brokenness. For as we struggle against sin and in our lives, through the power of the Spirit, give us victory over sin as Christ has come and won victory for us and overcome death, hell, and the grave. So, Father, we praise you today for Christ our Savior. What a glorious Savior in Jesus we have. So we praise you today. Would you give us victory today over fear, anxiety, and worry, and help us to put these things to death in our lives? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So just real quickly, where we're going this morning, we're going to take a few little steps together, and then we're going to talk about the three examples of fear, anxiety, and worry, and then some biblical responses. I think what we've been tasked to do is to wage war against the sin that's in us. I don't know about you, but I face it every day. I wake up to it every day. If we are not killing sin, here's what I see the Bible saying to us. And I think the church really needs to hear this. If we're not killing sin, then sin will be killing us. If we're not killing it, it's going to kill us. So I pray that, again, these three, we could talk about so many sins this morning, couldn't we? I could. And realize that when we're preaching, or when I'm preaching today, I'm preaching to me. Okay? So if you feel like I'm preaching to you, I'm not. I'm actually preaching to me. Okay? So killing the sins of fear, anxiety, and worry are vital to overcoming death. I don't know if you realize how big a deal these sins are. So that's what we want to do. So understand, the first step is understanding our emotional makeup. The Bible commends us to think honestly, sincerely, and a self-evaluation about what we are by nature. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but what we are by nature, what we are by upbringing, and some weaknesses we have, and every one of us have them, in our emotional makeup, we've had them since we were born. So the Bible commends us to kind of make this. Some of us may think, well, I'm not that kind of person at all, when indeed you may be exactly that kind of person. Do you know that sometimes I find in my own life that I kind of trick myself into thinking I'm something that I'm not? Maybe you can relate to that. The second step in killing ungodly emotions is that we need to be quick to confess and repent. Confess and repent unchristlike emotions. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who confesses and forsakes sin will find mercy." Now listen to the other side. "And he who covers it will not prosper." I love the Proverbs. So the things we need to be brutally honest with ourselves today concerning ourselves and our own emotions. So be quick to confess. Remember, we're dealing with self-justifying, self-deceiving hearts. And it's really easy. It's easy for me to talk myself out of reality. And I think it's easy for Christians. Christians are just outstanding at masking fear. They're outstanding at masking anxiety and worry. After all, what is the word that we use? We don't use the word worry. What do we use? What do we say? But we are just concerned. We're concerned. We're not worried. And the third step is that we've got to be willing to stay on track in killing these sins. Well, this is where it really helps us. I want to encourage you to find an accountability partner. Maybe your spouse. Hey, sometimes spouses don't work too good for this, but hey, maybe your spouse. Maybe if it's not your spouse, maybe a good friend, a best friend, another friend. Help hold us accountable. Remember, a process of repentance, transformation in doing and being. These things are so difficult because we are people of habit. I promise you, most of the stuff that you do every day as a result of your habits. You just do them the same way every day. And so fear, anxiety, and worry, these things come in as emotional habits. And remember, here's the goal this morning is, I want us to see, the Bible is so precious, isn't it? It gives us so much wisdom from God, and God loves us so much to give it to us. We need to be able to take the Scriptures and identify the sins that are in us, and then through a Spirit-empowered use of His Word, Spirit-empowered, I don't claim any power to do this. This Spirit-empowered use of this, we can kill these ungodly emotions. So that's where we're headed this morning. So let's begin by looking at Isaiah 41. I want to ask you to turn there, Isaiah 41, verse 10. This is actually the actual verse of Scripture that the favorite hymn of ours, "How Firm a Foundation," you remember that hymn? "How Firm a Foundation," this hymn is built on this verse. So let's read this verse of Scripture together, Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I love that verse of Scripture. I bet a lot of you know that passage, don't you? "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." One of the reasons we put these fears together, fear, anxiety, and worry, we put them together is because they overlap. The one who is fearful is the one who is anxious. The one who is anxious is the one who is worrying. And you know the story. So we put these together in this way. So I want to just quickly define them. Fear is basically this. It's a distressing, troubling emotion. And it's caused by impending danger, evil, or pain. And get this, whether the threat is real or imagined. How many times have we been afraid of that which didn't even exist, right? That didn't even come to pass. But we see that a lot of times in our lives, and it's helpful to remember that. Sometimes we're afraid of things that will never come to pass. So what about anxiety? Well, anxiety is just this idea of being full of mental distress or anxiousness or uneasiness of mind, and it's caused by fear of danger, misfortune. And to worry, y'all all know what that is. That's just to be concerned, right? That's to feel uneasy or anxious. So we see them overlapping. So here are some quick examples. Number one, there are legitimate fears, first of all. Legitimate fears. Now, these are not the ones we're talking about this morning. I'll give an example of that. This is the fear that would keep you from falling off a cliff. Okay? So you walk up to a cliff and you look. You've been to the Grand Canyon. I have been there once, and it's an amazing place. And it's hard to stand at the edge, isn't it? Why? Because of the fear that's in us that keeps us from falling off cliffs. Those are legitimate fears. I'm too close. I'm a little bit afraid. It's good. It saves our life. It's God-given. One of the things that parents find fearful, I found fearful when my boys, when they were young, is they would play around a hot stove. And they didn't have that fear that it was hot. Or they would go out by the creek in the backyard. And they didn't know that the water was rushing. And they didn't understand that. So parents find that fearful, don't they? Because they don't have that preserving life, that fight or flight fear. But most of the time when the Bible is speaking to us, it is not about that kind of fear that we're talking about this morning. So that's the second type of fear I want to talk to you about, is this: the fear of others. And this is the kind of fear that we really need to think about. This is the kind of fear that is a sinful emotion. Fear of others. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare." So fear of others. Now I want you to think about these categories with me for just a minute. Isn't peer pressure really fear of others? Peer pressure? We talk about that today a lot. How about being a people pleaser? Me? Fear of others. Fear of others. How about the need for the approval of others? Fear of others. How about being controlled by the opinions of others? Being controlled by their opinions. That's not you. Could be me, though. Right? Fear of others. How about this inordinate need for attention? We've seen this. Fear of others. How about this great inordinate need for relationships? Fear of others. You know, even being a hermit, can it be a fear of others? All demonstrations of that. Afraid to speak the truth because of the possible response, rejection, is nothing less than the fear of man. So that is the second type of fear. The third type of fear I want to tell you about this morning is the fear of the future. So when you talk about fear, anxiety, and worry, a lot of times we're talking about something that is future-oriented. Like often we're afraid of losing our health, right? Going to the doctor and hearing that dreaded C word, right? I mean, we're afraid of the future, the fear of what is to come. Fear of losing financial stability, fear of losing a job, fear of losing a relationship that we are in. When I was in high school, if you kids are out there, I used to have a girlfriend in high school. Fear, always afraid of losing that relationship. I can't believe how dumb I was. Anyway, that's weird. We learn, don't we? I'm way too old for that kind of nonsense now, right? Well, what we need to come to grips with today is that fear, anxiety, and worry never accomplish anything. They don't do anything at all. Actually, except one thing. Fear, anxiety, and worry do one thing. They lead to more sin. They lead to more sin. That's why we've got to be killing these emotions. I'm going to look over at Luke, and I just want to read, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Luke chapter 12, and I'll start reading verse 25. I love the Word of God. We're going to use it a lot this morning as we walk through how to use the Word to be killing emotions of fear, anxiety, and worry. Luke 12:25 says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour," remember we're thinking about the future, "to his lifespan?" So since you can't do a very little thing like that, why do you worry about the rest? So if you're not able to do a little thing like this, why do you worry about other matters? They can't extend your life. They can't add a cubit span to you in any way, right? As it says in Matthew. So Jesus is saying that worrying accomplishes what? Nothing. Nothing at all. The Proverbs tell us that in chapter 12 and verse 25, that Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety actually weighs down the heart of a man. So it's not that they just can't accomplish anything. It's that they can have physical implications for our lives. They can actually shorten our lives. Have you thought about that? Fear, anxiety, and worry can actually shorten your life. Psalm 37 in verse 8 says, don't fret, because it only leads to more evil doing. So, I'm looking back at Isaiah. And I just want to read chapter 57, a few verses. Chapter 57 and verse 11. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Isaiah 57:11. Whom have you dreaded and feared, that you have been a false witness, or been false to me, that so that you lied, is another translation. Whom have you feared so that you lied, and have neither remembered me nor pondered this in your hearts? Is it not because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? That passage of Scripture, what are the sins that proceed out of being? So we said, fear, anxiety, and worry, they can actually lead to more sins, right? Well, what kind of sins? Isaiah 57:11. How about lying? You did not remember me, he says. You did not even give me a thought or lay it to heart, he says. God says, was I really quiet that you did not need to remember me anymore? Have we thought about that in your life? Is God so quiet? In other words, can you not see him? Can you not hear him? Do you not even know that he is around? Is he so quiet that you do not even need to remember him anymore? It's a good question, isn't it? God asked that question. I love to read a guy named John Piper. He wrote in a book called Future Grace, he wrote this sentence or this statement. So quoting from John Piper, it says, I have learned that anxiety is a condition of the heart that gives rise to many other sinful states of mind. So think for a moment, how many different sinful actions and attitudes come from anxiety? For example, anxiety about finances. Right? We're all worried about money, right? They can lead to coveting, greed, hoarding, and stealing. Anxiety about succeeding at some task can make you irritable and abrupt. Anxiety about your relationships with others can make you withdraw, feel indifferent or uncaring about other people. So anxiety about someone else will respond to you can make you cover up the truth and lie about things. So, he says, if anxiety could be conquered, a mortal blow would be struck to many other sins. And I agree with that. I think that's exactly what the Bible teaches. So, fear, anxiety, and worry are forbidden in the Bible. And I know our hearts don't like to hear that, because sometimes we're guilty of this. But we need to be killing these sins. In the Scriptures, it's found 52 times in the Concordance, do not fear. 46 times it says, do not be afraid. So over 100 times in the Bible, we see, don't fear, don't be afraid. We think back to Isaiah 41:10, a great promise we should realize, don't fear. But when you look down at verse 13 and 14, Isaiah 41:10 that we read a while ago, verses 13 and 14 says, do not be afraid. He says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, if I also, I'm not going to turn there this morning, but in Revelation in chapter 21 and verse 7 and 8, we read these sins of those that are called abominable and murderers, immoral, idolaters, those who are cast into the lake of fire, right? So when we think of those who are cast in the lake of fire, well, who are the first people that we usually think of in our minds? We usually think of the murderers, the abominable, the idolaters, right? But if you look at that list in 21 verse 7 and 8, guess what the first word is? It's the cowardly. The cowardly. They're first on the list. You know, probably the passage of Scripture, if someone asked you, if they came up to you on the street and said, how do you overcome worry? What passage of Scripture would you probably turn to? Matthew chapter 6, right? Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, do not worry. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, I want to read this. Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, about what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we eat, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So many times we see the Bible saying, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't fear. These things are over and over again in the Scriptures. So here's the question that I have for you. Why is this such a horrible sin? Why are these emotions, why must they be killed? Why would we be talking about this morning? And here's the reason why. Fear, anxiety, and worry have their source in unbelief. And that's a problem, isn't it, for a Christian? Fear, anxiety, and worry find their source in unbelief. That's what makes them so shameful. They're rooted and they're grounded in unbelief. Things like fearing man and not fearing God. Things like trusting man but not trusting God. Not believing that God is for you. Not believing that God will work all things out for your good. Doesn't Jesus teach us this, even in this passage of Scripture in Matthew 6, when he says, O ye of little faith, right? Unbelief. Remember the sins in Isaiah 57:11 was they forgot God. They lied. They did not remember him anymore. They forgot God. So fear, anxiety, and worry are rooted in a soil of unbelief, and they grow out of that soil. If you struggle with these things, hey, you're not alone. You're a Christian and you struggle with these things. So how do we respond to that? How do we deal with that? What do you think we should do with fear, anxiety, and worry? Are y'all just going to wish it away? Is that what we do? There are biblical responses to it. There's a way that we can deal with this. And that's what I want to commend to you today, is the Bible does not leave us helpless. God has not abandoned us to dwell in fear, anxiety, and worry at all. I want to remind you that these things are contrary, number one, to who God has made us in Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, and we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God we are making his appeal through us. It's as though God is making his appeal through us. Sorry, I misread that. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So who are you, Christian, church? You're a new creation, right? His Spirit lives in us. One of the things that I learned when I was a teenager is that 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of, you remember it? Fear. But of power and love and a sound mind, right? And the interesting thing about that 2 Timothy passage is that he's writing to a young man named Timothy. And his primary problem appears to be that of timidity or fearfulness. And I think it's fascinating that Paul says, look, Timothy, stop shrinking back. Listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So here's the deal. If you're feeling worried, afraid, anxious, here's what we can know. That's not from God. It's not from him. Right? That's the old man coming out in us, saying, don't believe God, don't trust God. Hear me, if you have fear in your heart, it's not what God has made you to be. It's contrary to who God has made you in Christ. You are a new creation. Proverbs chapter 18:10, I love 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man, he runs into it and is safe. You see that? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You want to be safe? Run into him. And you're safe. What God has given us is himself as a sense of security. Where is your security? It's in God. The totality of his character, all his attributes, the spectrum of all that he is. He is your strong tower. He is my strong tower. We will run into him and find safety. When we are safe, we should no longer feel afraid. You know, Luther made this comment in a book. He said, the mother of all promises is Romans 8:28. And you know that promise, right? For we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his promise, to his purpose. So God has promised his people that he is going to be their refuge. So here we are, church. Who's our refuge? God is our refuge. Who is our safety? He is our safety. Who is our fortress? Who is our rock? Who is our firm foundation that we sing about? All that we need in life to be unafraid, unshaken in this life. From what kind of fear? From the fear of man. Why would our tongues be silent in a day of sin and apathy and horridness? Why wouldn't we speak the truth in love and call our friends to repentance and trusting Christ for forgiveness of sins? Why wouldn't we call people to prayer, to living a truly holy life? Why wouldn't we take baseball bats to our television sets? Well, that's another story. Why wouldn't we? I think my son believes I'm going to do that. But why wouldn't we? He has not made us afraid. He is our rock. He is our fortress. We should be killing these sins, or they will be killing us. So we find ourselves in a place, and this will happen, where you're going to feel fearful or anxious, beginning to worry, And here's what you don't do. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Likely will happen today. The goal is not to criticize yourself. That's not the goal. The goal is to know what to do when the fear comes. Know what to do when the anxiety comes. When the worry comes. Are you going to be afraid? Absolutely. But what does Psalm 56:3 say? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. That's right. When I'm afraid, I will do what? I will trust in you. So the psalmist knew that, didn't he? Everything that God has made us as a new person in Christ, a new humanity in Him, everything that He has provided for us in this life, geared to make us a people of faith, courage, fortitude, a people of endurance. That's what God has called us to be. That is the first response. The second response is to realize that proper thinking is a way to overcome fear, anxiety, and worry, remembering that it's a fight of faith. Fear comes into our life and says, be afraid. You should worry. You should feel anxious. God's promises say, do not fear, for I am with you. I will never lead you. I will never leave you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Remember Psalms, Isaiah. So at this point, what are we going to do? Remember, we're using our minds. Are we going to believe the lie, or are we going to believe God? Do we believe He's going to strengthen us, help us, uphold us? Remember, if we're going to believe the lie, go down the path of fear, anxiety, and worry, it's going to lead to a lot of other sins. It's going to weigh down the heart. It's a fight of faith. Thinking biblically about this helps. Truth and reality can overcome fear. Psalm 94, verse 19, if you're writing down verses, a precious verse. He says in that verse, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me. I can't imagine, but did you know that some 3,000 years ago that a man had anxious thoughts? And don't you understand what he means when he says this? When my anxious thoughts multiply within me. Well, we know what he's saying because we live right there with him. What does he say? He says, your consolations brought joy to my soul. Your consolations, your comforts, your magnificent promises promise to delight my soul. It's a great truth. The Lord Yahweh, who is my light, He is my salvation, according to Psalm 27, 1 through 3. You remember that passage of Scripture? Read it quickly. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, then, even then, I will be confident. See, if God is your salvation, your refuge, your light, what do you need to be afraid of? Biblical thinking, proper thinking, is a way to overcome fear. Using the Scriptures. Thirdly, we must trust God and His sovereignty. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out evil or wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Psalm 55:22 says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, right? And Peter picks this theme up and says, why would you cast all your cares upon the Lord? Because He cares for you. Church, don't you realize that? He cares for you. So you may think, Okay, well, what do I do when I'm going through this relationship crisis? What do I do when I'm going through this financial crisis? Whatever the case may be, when your heart begins to become weighed down, here's the invitation. God says, okay, brother, okay, listen, daughter, son, I'm talking to you, brothers and sisters. Cast your anxieties upon the Lord because He cares for you. And you go, really? How do I know that He cares for me? How do I really know it? How can I be sure that this is true? You say that He cares for me. Sometimes my life is a shamble of mess. How can you be sure? How can you be sure? And the answer is to look to that old Roman cross. Right? You know, if Romans 8:28 is the mother of all promises, then I guess what would be the granddaddy of all promises? But He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32, right? If God gave up His own Son to provide for our redemption, don't you think He has our health under control? I do not think He does. Don't you think He has our strained relationships under control? I think He does. Don't you think we can trust Him in all things? Stop and think about it. How has He demonstrated His love for you? He became a man. He walked perfectly righteous for you because you cannot. He is your righteousness. He died for you. He died your death. He rose from the grave for you, which is our justification. How has He demonstrated it? Think of Christ and all that Christ has done for His people. Think about His sovereign power over the devil, over demons, over the world, over our enemies and over us. Remember, this is a God that we absolutely can trust with our lives. So the fourth and fifth responses go like this. The fourth one is we really need to be affirm. We need to affirm that His presence is always with us. I don't know about you, but we need to be careful. I heard that, and I know metaphorically we say this. We pray, we look up into the heavens, and we pray that we say God is above us. But I want to remind you that if I understand theology correctly, that God is with all of us. He's everywhere. He's all present. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 23? But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, remember this? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, right? He's a great shepherd. They comfort me. I think the valley of the shadow of death is supposed to conjure up a lot of fear. Okay? Going through this valley, shadow of death, and there's death all around us. And we see that today, don't we? Who's with us? Who's our shepherd? Whose staff, whose rod comforts us? You're with me, I will fear no evil. That's exactly what I think it's amazing. As a side note, Hebrews chapter 13, if you're writing these things down, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. I don't know if you remember or not, but the writer of the sermon to the Hebrews says that he tells us that we shouldn't be covetous or greedy for money. And he pulls it back to this, because God has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. See how His presence with us and knowing Him as being with us can help our hearts not be covetous or greedy or envious. It's when we forget. It really is. It's when we forget. Oh, God says, oh, am I so silent that you forget me? I mean, and the ladies' Sunday school class this morning, I kind of heard this in a way. Is He so silent? Where is this in your house? Where is it? Is it up on a shelf? Is he so silent that you forget him? That's easy, isn't it? It's easy to forget. Because, oh, how our minds love everything else. Oh, how our hearts are fickle. The fifth response is we need to pray. And I love this. This is by far the highest point in this matter. We need to pray through fear, anxiety, and worry. And that's exactly what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us to do. Paul says in this way, and I think Paul, if anybody had a lot of things to be afraid of, this is a man who was no doubt weighed down with burden for the church, stoned, left for dead. He tells us a lot of the things that we read about in Acts that he went through. And listen to what he says in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And remember what he says the result is. Okay, so we do this. What's the result? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It's unfathomable. Where does this peace come from? Man, we can't understand it. See what he says? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How does it come? Again, how does that happen? In everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What a beautiful truth, Christian. Fear, anxiety, and worry are ungodly emotions that must be put to death. They stem from a heart of unbelief. They lead to disobedience and they lead to dishonoring our Lord and our Savior. The great news is that God has not left us without a great word. He has not left us in silence. He has given us precious, magnificent promises. He has given us prayer. He has given us everything that we need to put these things to death. God would have us to know. We all struggle, right? Fear, anxiety, and worry. Hey, maybe that's not your... Maybe that's not... Maybe you don't struggle with those, okay? But I know a lot of us do. We must be killing sin. Church. Tony, we must be killing sin. Our sin will be killing us. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have not left us in silence, but that you have spoken to us through your Son here in these last days, through the life and the testimony of Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, whom we owe all things. Help us to offer our lives up as a sacrifice of praise to you. For you have called us out of darkness and you've called us into your marvelous light. And Father, you have given us great, precious promises of all that you are, that we can run into you and be safe. Father, nothing can separate us from you and your love. No one can pluck us out of your hand. Now, your word is a treasure to us and your truth is amazing. So I pray for all of our hearts this morning, all of our hearts that are prone to wonder, all of us that are prone to leave the God that we love, we ask you, Father, take and seal our hearts. Seal us for your courts above. We pray, God, do this in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.